Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're looking at the battles of Gideon, and we're using the term in the plural. He had more than one battle. Stay tuned for our program. We've been looking at the life of Gideon, and I'm trying to figure out how old he was when this big battle took place when he fought the Midianites. He must have been a young man, because we read in Judges 6 and verse number 30, once he had torn down the idol there, the altar that was been built to Baal that his father had, the men of the city, it said, came to Joash the father and said, "Bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar." So it seems to me like he was living at home. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 15, he said, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So that word least has been translated younger 8 times and youngest 3 times. Most feel that he was probably a teenager like David was. He was also the youngest of the family when God used him to take on Goliath. And he used Joseph, you remember. He was the youngest in the family, and he turned out to be the second man in all of Egypt there. Remember the story. And then Mary was married to, the mother of Jesus was married to Joseph, and they were just teenagers at that time too. You don't have to wait around until you're an old man for God to serve you. The Bible says, remember the Lord and remember thy Creator in the... Well, we said that Gideon has fought more than one battle. He fought those Midianites, but he fought a lot of battles before he got to that one. And one of the greatest battles was the influence that people would have on his life as a young person. The dictionary says an influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character or behavior of someone. Well, first of all, there's his family, and Gideon had a major battle there. We see here that his father had, in verse number 25, it came to pass, for chapter 6, the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." And so he lived in a home where the leadership in the home was a compromisers. They were apostate. They were just doing whatever they could do to get along with the crowd, with the world, and what was going on in the world today. And it sounds like the average person who calls himself a fundamental Christian today. He had the influence of his parents. He had the influence of his siblings. Remember, he was the youngest in his father's home. Well, he stood the test. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 36, Jesus said, "A man's foes shall be they of his own household." He said in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He that loveth father or mother more than me," he said, "is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." We don't have to serve the Lord. We get to. And he said, if your family's more important than I am, well, then just go sit with your family. Well, there's a reward in serving the Lord. We read in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." He had to throw that persecutions in there. Yep, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not going to turning away from that, if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus. That's a big if. But he said, there's no man that's left anything that shall not be rewarded. You cannot outgive God. And so one of the greatest battles that Gideon had was the influences, even in a home, and yet he made it. There is no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever. You just say, well, I had my environment. No, no, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will empower those who want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and Gideon was one of those who did. Now, not only did he have a bad influence within his family, but also in the tribe in which he came from. You know, the Israelites were divided into different tribes. And he said in Judges 6 and verse 15, Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manassas, and I am the least in my father's house." Now, when he's referring to the family there, he's referring to the tribe. It's used several times in this book and several times through the Old Testament. And, for example, chapter 17 and verse 7 in the book of Judges, he talks about the family of Judah, that tribe. And so now he's talking about Manassas. He says, "We're poor." The Hebrew word there actually means to be thinned out. It's been translated needy twice. It's been translated weak a couple of times. It's been translated lean. He came from a tribe that was very, very weak. And so not only the spiritual leadership in his home could have been a bad influence on him, the spiritual leadership in the country could have been a bad influence on him. Now, Israel had been commanded in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 2, "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice," God said. Why have you done this? Well, here's young Gideon. He's watching the leadership who has not been obeying the voice of God. They once had a strong leadership. His name was Joshua, but we read in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." And so he was off the scene. And chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that after that there arose another generation which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And here's young Gideon. He's watching all of this. This could have had a tremendous influence on him. He could have gone with the crowd. Verse 13 says, "They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them." And here's Gideon. He's a young fella. He's watching all of this happen. It could have a tremendous influence on his life. He would need to make choices, and he'd need to make the right choices, because with every choice comes consequences. Well, the leadership in Israel made their choices, and as a result, the consequences came along. In chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, we see the invasion of Mesopotamia. In chapter 3, verse 12 through 30, we see the Moabites invading. In chapter 3 and verse 31, the Philistines invaded. And then in chapter 6, as we've been reading here, the Midianites invaded, and they were joined by the Amalekites. And all of this is coming against God's people, and Gideon is watching all of this. What will this do? How will he respond? God says in Ezekiel, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none." But that is not the case here. He found one young man, and his name was Gideon. Who was he? Well, he wasn't all that important as far as the world's thoughts are concerned. He was a farmer. He was the son of a farmer. He was out there threshing out, trying to get enough to eat while the enemies were coming in and stealing everything they had. Well, in spite of all these circumstances, we see here in Judges chapter 6 and verse number 14 that Gideon was willing to go, and he was willing to do God's will. In chapter 6 and verse number 14, we read, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And we find that he was willing to go. He wanted to, you know, he said, "What about a few signs that you're really with me?" Because he didn't feel capable of doing this. Not only that, he was willing to go alone. In chapter 6 and verse number 16, and it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." He was willing to go against his family in opposition to what his family was standing for. He was willing to face the persecution. We see there that they came after him and they said, send out your son, Joash, send out Gideon and we can kill him. And he was not only prepared to face that kind of persecution, but he was prepared for an enemy attack. It matters not who you are. You can look at Joseph and what is an attack? It is an aggressive action against someone. That's what the brothers of Joseph did. That's what happened to the disciples. Paul the Apostle, an aggressive action against him. Look at Daniel. They ended up in the den of lions. Look at the three Hebrew children in the furnace. If you're going to serve God like that, you're going to face persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And young Gideon was a young man that was willing to do it. We also read in chapter 7 that Gideon rose up early. He wasn't lazy. He got up out of bed and got working for the Lord. He got his directions from the Lord in chapter 7 and verse number 2. The Lord said in chapter 7 and verse number 4. The Lord said in chapter 7 and verse number 7. We read the Lord said. He's just willing to listen to the Lord and get up early in the morning and hear what he had to say. And not only up early in the morning, but he was willing to sacrifice long hours. He got up early in chapter 7 and verse number 1. And then in chapter 7 and verse number 9, we see that same night he's still out there fighting the battle. Well, as you go through this story of Gideon, you'll see some tremendous victories here. And God did a great thing for the people of Israel through this young man. It's interesting some conclusions we can make from this whole story. Number one is God gets our attention during tough times. It's too bad that we have to go through that sometimes, but if we're not going to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, we read in Psalm 106 and 107 in that area where the Bible says that when they wouldn't listen to God, they that hated them ruled over them and they were brought into subjection under their hand. That is happening today. We are either going to, it's revival for survival today, or we're going to be ruled over by those who hate us and we'll be brought into subjection that way. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive the sin and heal the land. If my people will do that. If not, expect those that hate us to take over and we'll be brought into subjection under their hand. We see here that he's winning the private battles long before he was out there with that public battle. He had some followers, 300 men, and they were called. The Bible says that many are called and few are chosen. Yeah, many of these were called. You know, thousands and thousands of them went back home. 300 did the job. Few were chosen. They were people who were careful. They were avoiding the enemy. You know the story as they were down drinking in the river. Some just put their face in the water and started drinking. You get a spear in your back that way if you're not careful. Others lapped. They put the water in their hands, kept an eye out, see where the enemies were coming. And they were not only careful people that followed Gideon, they were courageous people. They were willing to do what frightened other people. That's what courage means. Well, we've said in Bible study, we should look at what we're looking at just for observation and then interpretation. But most important, what is the application? And for that application, as we conclude this little series about Gideon, I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11 that says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things are written for our admonition. It's not just some nice little story we tell in Sunday school to the Sunday school children. These things are written for our admonition. That word admonition means to be warned. In fact, he says right here, right after that verse, he says in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Right there, right in that verse. Let me read it again. All these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Well, Gideon had a lot of influences around him, bad influences, but he didn't fall. Let us take heed in this age of apostasy lest we fall.